This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Thank you for joining us. We're your hosts. My name is Marcy Davis, and my co-host is my amazing service dog, Fenway. And we're excited to be with you today to talk about our favorite subject, working dogs and working animals. And today we are welcoming two guests to the show. It is Jenny Exley and Margaret Jones. And Jenny and Margaret are co-puppy raisers for Canine Companions. And many of you know that Canine Companions is a leader in the service dog industry. They provide service dogs to adults, children, and veterans with disabilities. They also provide facility dogs to professionals working in healthcare, criminal justice, and educational settings. And since Canine Companions was founded way back in 1975, their dogs and all their follow-up services are provided at no cost to clients. So Canine Companions, they are amazing, and we're thrilled to have Jenny and Margaret join us. So come right back after these quick messages as we welcome Jenny Exley and Margaret Jones to the show.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. It is my pleasure to welcome Jenny Exley and Margaret Jones to the show. Hello, you two, and welcome.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
It's great. I'm just so thrilled, Jenny. So thrilled you're back on the show. We're glad that you were able to join us again to talk about all your incredible experience and expertise as a puppy raiser for Canine Companions. And this time you've brought your co-puppy raiser, Margaret, with you. Hey, Margaret, and welcome.
Hey, Marcy and team.
Well, first of all, Margaret, tell our listeners about Canine Companions. Who are they? What is their mission?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great organization. Jenny and I actually just got back from a conference celebrating 50 years of Canine Companions and our mission of leading with independence. So this organization, as already mentioned, helps to provide service animals to, I think they told us, actually over 60 diagnoses now and different disabilities, as well as facility animals that can help provide assistance. The mission is really client-focused and client-based to help provide the best animal, the best dog, to help work with folks that might need it. And like I said, it's been 50 years of working with various animals. They finally figured out that the Lab-Bolt cross was probably the best for their work and their animals. That's after having worked through corgis and German shepherds and maybe even a poodle in there. I can't remember, but they now provide either a pure Goldens or Labs or Lab Golden crosses to help do the work for their clients.
Wow. I cannot believe it's 50 years. That is amazing. And I have to say, I'm super excited because Canine Companions Chief Executive Officer is going to be on the show soon, Paige. So I'm so happy for her to be on the show celebrating those 50 years leading the service dog industry, because Canine Companions is the largest on the planet, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Wow.
Really, it seems to be industry leading and kind of setting the bar for the other service dog organizations and other organizations verified under Assistance Dogs International. So doing some incredible work in this field.
Yes, yes. Lots to be proud of. Well, Jenny, I've got to ask you, because Jenny and I, before the show, everybody, we were visiting about how long we've known each other. And I met Jenny almost 20 years ago when she was raising her second puppy, Janice. So tell us, Jenny, when did you become a puppy raiser with Canine Companions? And how many dogs have you raised?
I became a puppy raiser for Canine Companions in March of 2005 when I received my first dog, Peggy. It was actually my daughter's idea because she had a friend that was raising for guide dogs for the blind. But since I work at Craig Hospital, which is a rehab hospital for patients with spinal cord injuries and brain injuries, I thought I need to look at that kind of service dog. So I started looking at the animals, the dogs that we brought into this hospital, and decided I needed to raise for Canine Companions because they're a nonprofit and they provide the dogs free of charge to their clients. They also serve patients from around the United States, which is important because Craig Hospital serves patients from around the United States. And I'm currently raising my 18th dog, co-raising with Dr. Margaret Jones here. Her name is Donut. And I also have my 19th dog, Nyx, who I co-raise with my family, and my adult daughter, Brooke.
Oh, my goodness, Jenny. You are so amazing. And I had the pleasure of meeting Donut in your office earlier this year. What a cutie patootie. And Margaret, how did you get started? How did you decide to become a puppy raiser?
Well, you know, Jenny is a good recruiter. And if I go back through some of my photos, like, I definitely would take photos of service dogs working, clearly not interrupting the clients, but seeing them out at conferences. And I did my fellowship at Kessler, which has some facility dogs. And so I think I was always pretty aware of CCI. I have two friends that both used to have graduate dogs, and just know how special the dogs are, how much they can do for folks. And so then when I started working at Craig, it really melded together quite well. At the time, Jenny was raising Donut's mom, Coffee, who has now become a breeder. But basically, we would kind of use my job of rounding with the patients to reinforce some of the training we do for our puppies and getting them used to seeing people and families and being around assistive devices. But even outside of that specific, it was also just an opportunity to work on being in an office building or being in a hospital, going up and downstairs, being in an elevator. So when, after Coffee became a breeder and we worked on how can we all make sure we take care of all these puppies, Jenny was nice enough to ask me to be a co-raiser. And so our first puppy together was Forrest. He was born 2.5 years ago. So he was from Coffee's first litter. And then the second litter, anyways, that third litter now is Donut. And so Jenny and I are co-raising Donut together. And even though I'm not the official co-raiser, I've helped with some of these other Coffee pups. So lots of puppies all around.
Yes, yes, which is what we love. Yes, lots of puppies. Never enough puppies. Margaret, tell us what your role is at Craig Hospital. What do you do? What's your day job?
Sure. Yeah. Well, if you ask any of my patients, my day job is still to have a dog with me. but I was fortunate enough to get recruited to Craig and the CNS Medical Group. I started in January of 2022. So I am one of the physical medicine and rehabilitation doctors here. I take care of both spinal cord injury and brain injury patients. And that team here, we call it our combo team. So I'm seeing a wealth of various diagnoses and disabilities and introducing patients and families, like I said, to these puppies, and also the idea of a service dog if it may be needed later on.
Oh, that's beautiful. I just love that, Margaret, that you have taken on that leadership role to introduce your patients to these incredible dogs and what they can do for them. And I have to say, as a person with a lifelong disability, service dogs and Craig Hospital have been two of the most transformational experiences that I've had. I've been a Craig patient, full disclosure, for over 20 years. And it's just, it to me, it's like the Disneyland of disability world. Yeah, Craig Hospital, because you guys are so amazing. So tell me, Jenny, when you first started, what was the process? And Margaret, for you too, I'd like to hear how it's evolved. What was the process to become a puppy raiser?
So for me, you have an application process through Canine Companions, and then they actually, the puppy program manager calls you, and then somebody that's already a puppy raiser here in Colorado visits your home just to make sure it's a safe environment for a puppy, which is much like toddler-proofing your home. And then here at the hospital, I had to get permission from the hospital to bring the dog in, and so at that time, it was the vice president I spoke to. And I was given a restriction of, yes, Jenny, I know you. I think you'll be able to handle this responsibility as a volunteer puppy raiser. And the dog can only be on the first floor. The dog can't be up on the floor with the patients. Well, that was in 2005. As the years progressed, all the dogs have access everywhere except to any place that, you know, we can't have them, like the urology suites and stuff like that. So it's the hospital has really thoroughly enjoyed not just the patients, but the staff having all these dogs at the hospital and just around. It just has helped with a lot of comfort and anxiety with several different people and staff, patients alike.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. You think of 2005 wasn't that long ago, but you're right. It was much more restrictive then than it is now. Now there are dogs everywhere, walking the halls, all the floors, which is so wonderful. And what about you, Margaret? What was your experience like when you became a puppy raiser?
Yeah, I mean, it was wonderful having such a great mentor in Jenny, meaning she had already been raising dogs into her, you know, 14th and 15th dog. So having that experience was helpful. She also kind of helped me speed through some aspects of the puppy raiser application. That's not to say we cut corners. It just was faster than it might have been. But it's been great because actually we have someone else in our office who also raises. So I've become a co-raiser with her. And Jenny and I are now the puppy liaisons for our chapter. And what that just means is really helping to make sure puppies are getting to their puppy raisers okay, that everyone's taken care of, that we're helping with making sure sitters are found when needed. And really all of that, becoming a puppy raiser meant getting to play with puppies, but it brought an incredible community of like-minded, kind humans who, you know, you can call each other up on a Saturday and say, hey, can we have a play date? So that's pretty great.
That's really great. Well, that's what I was going to ask you is to, and either one of you can answer this or both. What is your responsibility and your role as a puppy raiser? What did you actually sign up for that you're responsible for with this little canine?
So originally, this is Jenny. Originally, I just signed up to be a puppy raiser. And then along the way, you see that there's this whole community of people that are raising puppies in Colorado. And it's evolved now where we have a prison program in Colorado and we have two college campuses where the college students are raising the puppies and a third campus is starting to form. And it's just the community of people here is one of the reasons I've stayed raising for Canine Companions, because everyone is so wonderful and helpful. And if you have an issue with a puppy, they'll be more than happy to help you. If you have to find a last minute sitter, there's usually somebody that can sit, you know, just automatically just say, I'll do it right now. It's just a great community. And that's one of the reasons I've stayed with them.
I get that. Yep.
Yeah. And I'll add, so Canine Companions is based on volunteer work. And so there are volunteer breeder caretakers that take care of these puppies till they're about 8 weeks old. Then they literally get flown all across the country to go to their puppy raisers in six different regions, so all over the country. And from there, the puppy raiser is set to just be a good human pack leader, has to work on feeding them the right way, has to get them used to grooming and feeding, getting them on a schedule, getting them used to crates, teaching some basic commands. The program, again, is so supportive that we're supposed to go to a certain number of classes every month, but they also provide the trainers free of charge, which is wonderful. And then we typically keep the puppies anywhere from 14 to 18 months. I think they're trying to stay on the later end of that range. But at that point, they turn in for us. They turn back into Oceanside, California. They get evaluated for what they may become. So that's a pretty common question of what are they going to do when they grow up? And we don't know either. And that's up to the organization. So whether they become breeders or dogs for veterans, service animals for people with physical or maybe some mental health disabilities, kids with disabilities, and even facility dogs, as mentioned. So it's creating the foundation and socialization and loving network of a village to take care of this dog, to prepare them for their future person.
Oh, I love it. Well, that just sounds like magic happening all the way around in your relationship with these little bundles of joy, and also your relationships that you're building with all the your network of friends and supporters. It's just win-win all the way around. Well, I have lots more questions for you too, but we're going to take just a quick break and hear some important messages from our sponsors, and we'll be right back and continue visiting with Jenny Exley and Margaret Jones. So come right back.
Has your dog or cat chewed through yet another set of sheets?
I get it. I've been there. But instead of replacing them with more scratchy, low-quality bedding, why not treat yourself to what Oprah and Kris Jenner sleep on every night? It's called Cozy Earth, and yes, it's as dreamy as it sounds. Their bamboo sheets and pajamas are buttery soft, cooling, moisture-wicking, and they actually get softer every time you wash them. I'm talking next-level snuggle mode here, folks. These sheets have been on Oprah's Favorite Things list 7 years in a row, and there's a reason why. Cozy Earth gives you the softest, coolest sleep of your life. And just for Pet Life Radio listeners, I scored you an exclusive 41% off. That's the biggest discount they offer anywhere. Just use promo code PETLIFERADIO at CozyEarth.com and sleep like the celebrity your pet already thinks you are. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code PETLIFERADIO. You'll thank me at bedtime.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. And we are visiting with two heroes in my mind, big heroes. Not only are they volunteers with Canine Companions, but they're also puppy raisers, which to me are just some of the most angelic people on earth, because they raise these dogs that enable people like myself to have a incredible amount of independence that I would not otherwise have. So we were talking before the break about your roles as puppy raisers. And I want to ask you, how do you two work together as co-puppy raisers? What does that mean?
Jenny's not my actual mom, but she's like my adopted mom, because my real mom has passed away. But I just say that to say, and we giggle just because it really flows quite nicely for us. For the most part, the puppies do stay at Jenny's house. I have a number of pet dogs at my home. I do help with the puppies a lot. But part of the way we work is just a kind of reinforcing some of the training and the socialization and bringing our own perspective to things.
We go to classes together, so we're both learning the same things that the dog needs to still learn. And it's just a nice partnership. And in the office, like I said, we kind of split time with the dogs as far as when they're with us at my desk or when they're with Dr. Jones at her desk. So, and up rounding with patients. So it's kind of nice. They get used to more than one handler, which is really advantageous for these dogs.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful for them and for you, so that you have that backup. That is lovely. Well, tell us about the classes that you have to do. What is that commitment?
So we are required to go to at least two classes a month here in Colorado. We have three trainers in the Denver area. I think there's one or two trainers up north because we have the college students in Fort Collins raising as well as other raisers up there in that area. And then we have a trainer in Colorado Springs. So there's a number of classes that you can go to, and these trainers are, you just sign, we have this volunteer place where we sign up to attend their classes. And the one class we have here that's close to our hospital is a police station. So we just kind of leave the office after we're done for the day and head over to the police station. And that's also very rewarding because then the dogs see the police officers in their uniforms. And last class, we actually went to the fire station, which is right by the police station, and the firemen put all their garb on and their masks and stuff on. And so the dogs got used to that. And we heard sirens and all the dogs did very well with that. So we just do different things at each class just to make them aware of different people and places and things that they could be exposed to.
That's so fun. Yeah, that sounds like fun for you guys getting to go on all those little field trips.
Yeah, so there is a certain number of commands that we're kind of guided to lead our puppies to know. So sometimes the classes are really reinforcing just those simple commands. Sometimes it's working on some of those commands in more real life situations, such as those sirens, or just thinking about some other things that aren't necessarily like required commands, but good to think about in terms of like body positioning or where a dog may need to be for their clients in the future, like being able to walk upstairs really slowly for someone who may have an impairment with that or whatnot. So it's also a great opportunity to connect with the other puppy raisers and kind of, you know, whether you have a puppy the same age or a different age, just to sort of gauge like, oh, am I behind? Or is this okay? Or yeah, that's hard. Like having that dog bark all of the time or something like that. So it's again, like going back to that community, but also getting back to what the dogs need for their future.
I love it. Well, tell us about what the process is when you, after that 14 to 18 months, when you turn the dog back over to Canine Companions. Jenny, tell us, what is that process like?
They are in the program for like 6 to 9 months, but they could be released at any time during that 6 to 9 months at professional training. And the first thing they do is they do a lot of medical exams to make sure that the dog, it doesn't have any medical issues. That's usually the first wave of releases, if there's any medical releases. The puppy raisers always get first chance of getting the dogs back that they raised if they want to have those dogs back as a pet dog. Otherwise, other releases just could be some behavior issues, or the dog just doesn't want to work. They recognize dogs that don't want to work, and they want to do the best for the dog, so they release dogs for that reason as well. And again, if the puppy raiser does not want to take the dog back, there's also a now a Canine Companions certification for therapy dogs. So actually in our office right now is Dr. Jones' dog, Preston, who make it through because he liked cats too much. So now he's a certified pet therapy dog, and he is in here in the office right now, peacefully snoring away. But he goes up on the floors with Dr. Jones and sees patients as well.
That's excellent. So he got another job.
Yeah. So when the dogs go for their advanced training, really, there's a lot of behind the scenes work being very, you know, challenging work being done by the trainers and everyone else in the program. Puppy raisers do get a report about once a month to let them know what's going on, what's kind of good, what maybe they're working on, challenges they're seeing. And sometimes things, yes, that seems right. And other times it's like, man, we never saw that when they were puppies. And then, like Jenny said, sometimes you'll get a call. Well, there's various calls you could get. One could say your puppy's being considered to be a breeder and needs to go up to Santa Rosa, California. Sometimes you'll get a call that says your puppy's being released. And as someone who helped or knew Preston quite well, because I kind of helped, but I wasn't official co-raiser for him, I was able to take him back and go through the Canine Companions therapy dog program. But then for the most part, you're waiting for that call maybe 4 or 5 months after you've turned them in that says, hey, we're going to take that dog to team training. We found a person we think that they might match with. And you as the puppy raiser just really hope that that dog's going to make it and go do their work as a service animal.
Yeah. So lots of great options. Yeah. You never know what their future is going to be. I love that the dogs are really evaluated for what's best for them, which I love that process, that if they don't seem like they want to be a service dog, there are all these other options, including getting to come back and just be a dog with their puppy raiser, if that works out for the puppy raiser and for the dogs. I love that.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. So tell us about, if you get that call that they're going to team training, tell us about the graduation, because Canine Companions, again, leads the industry in that graduation process. Tell us about that.
It's a really fun time, because when you get a call saying they're going to be graduating, the puppy raiser gets to go back to the regional training center. I should say there's 6 regional training centers around the United States for Canine Companions. So our regional training center for Colorado is Oceanside, California, which is north of San Diego. So we go and we get to meet the person that they're going to be going to. And then we go to the graduation ceremony. And they have a huge program, which everyone can watch on live stream if you're not actually at the graduation. And the puppy raiser holds on to the dog they raise. And then they have the people that are getting the dogs come up on stage, and the puppy raiser and the graduate are introduced. And the puppy raiser then hands the leash over to the graduate. So there's like Kleenex boxes at the end of every row.
Yeah.
But it's really nice because you get to meet the person they're going to. And all the dogs that I've raised that have graduated, I've stayed in touch with everybody. And they're just always so thankful that they just send me pictures and send me, you know, Christmas or holiday cards. So it's really fulfilling to know that they're working and that the job you did was really well worth it.
That must be so rewarding to see how much of an impact you have had on somebody's life. It is transformational.
It's what keeps me puppy raising.
Good. Because I can't say enough about the impact that it has on someone's life. It's just incredible. And I've heard so many potential puppy raiser volunteers say, they can't raise a puppy because they can't stand the thought of giving it up. Heard that so many times. What advice, Jenny, would you give to someone who's thinking about becoming a puppy raiser?
Yes, I get that question or their statement a lot too. And then, so I just say, you just have to go into it recognizing the dog is not yours. Yes, you still love them. And yes, it's hard to give them away back to the professional trainers. But when you have a dog that graduates, it then becomes like a full circle for you. And like I said, I've been fortunate to still have, you know, communication with those graduates. So as long as I know the dog is happy and working and they love them, I'm okay with it. So it is hard, though. The first one I went into, as far as turning in, it was Peggy. And of course, I cried. And I went there with somebody that had already been raising like 16 dogs. And I said, okay, I'm going to go in with you. And you're going to show me the example. Well, she was crying harder than I was when I turned my first dog in, and she had done 16. So it's different with every dog. Some dogs I have a better bonds with others, but you know, it's still, I know what the purpose is, and that's what I'm raising for. And I also have a pet dog at home that was a release dog from Canine Companions and is also now a certified pet therapy dog with them. So that helps as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good strategy. Yeah. Yep. Having one at home really, really helps. And I love that you can, again, adopt them and they can become your dog and they can get that therapy job. That is awesome. Well, let me ask you, Margaret, what should somebody do if they want to become a volunteer puppy raiser with Canine Companions? Because I know there are never enough puppy raisers.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, first of all, I'll say there's many ways to volunteer with the organization if someone feels that they can't puppy raise. Another thing I'll tell people is there's a YouTube short called Andy, which gives a little idea of what their service dogs do. There's a longer movie on Netflix called Inside the Mind of a Dog that looked into some of the research of what's being done with these animals. So not only are they future service dogs, but they're helping us to understand dog cognition and what that means across animals and organisms. But the best thing you can do is go to canine.org. That is the website for Canine Companions. It can probably get you in touch with that regional center to try to figure out how to be a volunteer or how to be a puppy raiser. And then there's a process of, as Jenny mentioned previously, just the home visit, making sure you can take this into your lifestyle. There are ways to be puppy raisers for people that don't think that they can have little puppies. So in Colorado, for example, we work really closely with one of the local prisons where incarcerated individuals are able to help be puppy raisers. And then they have socializers who take over the puppies later on in life. So there's ways to be involved with these puppies and to help puppy raise. And as more and more people find out about our organization and know how much Canine Companions can give a service animal free of charge to someone, we always need more puppy raisers across the country. So canine.org.
That's fantastic. How could you pass up that opportunity? Wow. Well, let me ask you, Jenny, what has been your greatest challenge as a puppy raiser? All these wonderful benefits, but what have you found to be your greatest challenge and how did you overcome that?
Gosh, the greatest challenge is really when they have diarrhea in their crate in the middle of the night.
I love you, Jenny. Thank you for telling us like it is. Yep, that is so true. Yep. Yeah.
I guess really some dogs, you just have to know that all the dogs are different. Some dogs learn at a different rate. In my experience, I find that the female dogs learn quicker than the male dogs. The male dogs seem to learn at a slower pace. I kind of compare them to, I've had two children, a boy and a girl, and I think in life, actually, boys are slower learners than girls in the beginning. So that's kind of like the dogs that we get. But I love both female and male dogs for different reasons. But yeah, I just
Nancy loves both of her children.
Yeah. And we won't tell them you said that, Jenny. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think a challenge is some dogs just learn at a slower pace. You don't really want to try and compare your dogs with somebody else's dog of the same age because they're just going to learn it later. But sometimes there's commands. Like one time I had a dog that just would not learn how to shake. And finally, it was a male dog. And finally, about 9 months of age, he decided he would shake. So it's just sometimes it's just different, the different commands that we teach them, that some are harder than others. So really, and you have a whole group of community of people and the trainers that are helping you locally as well. So, and it's something that you can't teach, it's okay. Our main job as puppy raisers is to socialize them and, you know, having them walk nicely on leash so they aren't pulling anybody, they aren't chasing squirrels, stuff like that. And then when they get to the professional trainers, they have ways to teach these dogs that they are so good at their jobs. I am so thankful that they can pick up where we have left off or we've had difficulties. So I always feel like if I haven't taught all the dogs I'm supposed to be teaching, all the commands we're supposed to be teaching them, it's okay. And Canine Companions agrees with that. So
I'm so glad for you to say that because I can only imagine the pressure that a puppy raiser would feel that their dog, like a child, would have to be perfect. And there's no such thing as a perfect dog or a perfect child. So I love that you don't have to compare and say, oh, mine's not shaking or mine's not retrieving or whatever it is. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, take that pressure off and just love that little canine and help them get that foundation, like you said, Jenny, of being able to walk on leash and do those basic things that are just so foundational and so important for a successful team. Well, let me ask you, Margaret, what has been your greatest gift that you've received as a puppy raiser?
Both in CCI, but in general. But dogs really remind you of the important basics of life as a human. So eating, sleeping, you know, staying on a schedule, all of those things are good for life. But truly, these puppies really remind you that it's important to play every day. And as someone that, you know, my day job is pretty busy, stressful, it's wonderful to take a minute, stop, you know, snuggle with whatever puppy might be in the office that day. But also just to take a break and say, all right, let's play with the ball. Let's do this. And not everything needs to be so serious or pressure filled. I agree with Jenny. I think some of the challenges are like, oh my gosh, I want to do the best. I want this dog to make it. I want. But at the end of the day, they're animals and they're dogs that we can love on, we can play with. And that's a pretty good day-to-day task to include in your everyday life.
Well, I think you summed up the whole program, the whole role of a puppy raiser just beautifully, Margaret. That's it. That's it. And that is what is so incredible and magical about these canines, that they do really put things into perspective. Yeah. And really show us what joy is and what unconditional love is.
Yeah, they'll also, especially the CCI dogs, they'll make you think that you're an incredible dog trainer because they're such smart animals. So you're like, oh,
right,
the best
right.
At this. But
yeah.
Incredible animals that are gifted to us to have for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And then they go out into the world and just have such a ripple effect of what they do for so many people. Facility dogs who touch thousands and thousands of people. And then the one-on-one dogs, the service dogs that just change people's lives every day. Myself as one of those. Yeah, well, you two are amazing. And I could talk to you all day. I just thank you so much for being with us and for the work that you're doing. Your dedication as puppy raisers, it's truly life-changing. The time, your heart, your home, everything that you give to these dogs during their most formative times of their lives and time of their journey. So I just thank you two so much for your selfless love and commitment. It's so beautiful to see what you do every day. I love coming to Craig and seeing your dogs, Jenny, in your office. It's one of my favorite things to do because it can be intense being at Craig. So I love stopping by and seeing you and getting some snuggles from your puppies in training. So thank you too for what you're doing. And I just can't thank you enough. And thank you, our listeners, for being with us. We so appreciate you. And we'll have information on our website about Canine Companions so that you can get more information if you want to be a puppy raiser or if you want to apply for one of their incredible dogs, because they are amazing. And please keep your emails coming. Fenway and I love to hear from you. And you know, if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future shows, you can reach me at Marcie, M-A-R-C-I-E, at PetLifeRadio.com. So any last thoughts, you two, before we say goodbye?
I just want to thank you, Marcie, for having us on. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and it's always also a pleasure to see you when you're here. So
thank you,
Jenny. And your wonderful puppies.
Thank you. Well, Jenny and I were also visiting before the show. She babysits my dogs whenever I have to have a medical procedure at Craig. If I have to go someplace that my dog is not allowed, Jenny's office is the first place we go to. So thank you, Jenny, for being such a support to me and my dogs over these years. I'm giving you a big hug. And Margaret, I can't wait to see you when I'm back at Craig later this year.
Yes, thank you so much for having us and letting us, you know, just talk about the joy that is working as puppy or volunteering as puppy raisers and being a part of this organization.
Well, thank you too so, so much. And thank you, our listeners. We look forward to being with you again soon. Take good care.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.